Right now, all eyes are on Russia for the Winter Olympics, but soon, very soon, the sports world's attention will turn to Brazil for soccer's World Cup. And that means the country's cultural and musical stars will also be in the spotlight, so we'd like you to meet one of them today. Maria Rita is one of Brazil's best-known and most successful singers. She's won 7 Latin Grammys and sold more than 2.5 million albums. But her latest album is more than a showcase for her own talent. It is also an homage to her musical heritage, because Rita is the daughter of the renowned pianist Cesar Camargo Mariano and the legendary singer Elis Regina, and Rita's latest album covers the songs that her mother made famous. Here is just a taste. Here it is.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é um resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho, é caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol, é a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol, é peroba do campo, nó na madeira, cainga, candeia, é uma tita pereira, é madeira.
And that was Maria Rita singing Águas de Março. And she is with us now. We caught up with her in New York. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I should say welcome back to New York.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Because you were a student in New York for a time. Mm-hmm. Actually, you studied at NYU.
Exactly. I went to college there for 4.5 years.
Did you always know you could sing?
Well, I always heard that. People would always tell me that. And that kind of made me angry because people would come up to me very emotional and say, you have to sing. You have to sing. They made such a big deal out of it. And I said, no, I don't. I don't have to do anything.
I don't have to do anything.
What is it? What's going on? I didn't quite understand what it was. And it always made me angry because it felt like they wanted me to fulfill the hole that they felt after my mom's passing. So I didn't deal with it too well.
I was going to ask you about that because, you know, very often when a parent is high profile in whatever field, you know, whether it's politics or whether it's the arts, you know, people often just have that expectation that a child will go into the same field, especially you know, having both parents be such, you know, renowned, you know, artists. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering, when you were growing up, did you want to follow their musical path, or did you want to, say, be an airline pilot, you know, or an aeronautics engineer or something like that?
Actually, an airline pilot. It did cross my mind, but I wear glasses, so somebody told me that I couldn't even try it out, so I left that behind. My father encouraged us, me and my brothers, to do whatever made us feel happy. And for the majority of the time, even though I did love music and singing, it felt very confusing to me. I didn't understand why were they getting so emotional and so strongly opinionated about it. It didn't leave me room to question whether I wanted it or not. Mm. I think from an adolescent point of view, I just rebelled against that whole idea of doing something that people wanted me to do. So secretly, like deep down inside, I wanted it. So music was always there. It was always intertwined in my life in one way or another.
But you know, your mother has been called Brazil's greatest female singer, and that feels like a lot of weight to carry for anybody.
Well, once I realized that I needed to sing, it wasn't something that I would do as a hobby or something that I would do because people expected me to. Once I realized that that was me, you know, it was my soul and was my truth, that whole thing became secondary. Up until the point when I felt ready for the challenge, indeed, it was a pressure. You know, it's hard to not know whether people like you and befriend you because of who you are, because of who your parents or your mother is. And that made me very insecure for a long time. But as I said, once I realized that that was me speaking and not other people, really, honest, I'm being very honest, like it became secondary because that was me. That's what I needed to do.
How did you go about finding your own voice? I remember reading an interview with you from Billboard magazine, and you were quoted as saying, look, our resemblance is genetic, not conscious in matters of music. I hear much more Ella Fitzgerald in me than Elis Regina.
Right. I grew up listening to Ella Fitzgerald. Like, she's all that. I mean, I can't even start describing. I get goosebumps just by listening to her. She touches me in a way that I can only dream of touching people. I didn't listen to my mom as I was growing up because it was too painful, as it still is somewhat. I mean, you have to understand that this woman was not only the greatest singer ever in Brazil, she was also beautiful, smart, intelligent. She was really involved in all kinds of social and political issues. She was just a pioneer. She was ahead of her time. And she would read a lot, and she was just so mind-boggling, and people were so in love with her. Whoever, from, you know, I'm talking about the audience, I'm talking about the people who worked with her. I've met up with a bunch of musicians who played for her. At one point or another, you know, earlier on in the conversation or later in the conversation, they would just look at me, it's like, you know, I have something to tell. And I was like, okay, go ahead. And they would say, I was completely in love with her. I've heard that way too many times because that's the kind of woman that she was. She was just, she would light up the room.
I mean, you certainly more than proved yourself, if indeed you ever felt that you had to in your own right. I mean, I want to mention that you've won more Latin Grammys than any other Brazilian artist, and that includes two for your album Segundo. And this song won Best Brazilian Song. I think it's Caminho das Águas. Here it is.
Leva no teu bumbá, me leva. Leva aqui. Segue seu rumo lenta, como quem já não quer mais chegar, como quem se acostumou no canto das águas, como quem já não quer mais voltar.
One of my colleagues was walking by my office when I was playing some of your CDs, and she said, wow, that makes me feel like I'm in a warm place.
Na roda canta com o seu.
Have you ever desired to work in English?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's really important. The kind of music that I do, the kind of music that I like to present to people is one which they can relate to on a deeper level, you know. Don't just shake your head and, lap your fingers every now and again. Because I think that music, in general, does play the role of the soundtrack of one's life. And I find that it's very seductive in a way, you know, to have someone listen to your music, whether in Portuguese or English or Spanish, because I sing in Spanish as well, and just be like, oh, I'm so glad that someone gets me, and I'm so glad that someone put that into music and put that into words, because oftentimes we feel something, we don't really understand what it is, or we don't really have the words to explain it, but it's right there in the song.
Let me play another song, if you don't mind. This is from your first album, the self-titled Maria Rita, which you released when you were 24. And this is Agora Só Falta Você.
Só Falta Você.
Só Falta Você. Okay, here it is. Let's play a little bit.
Belo dia resolvi mudar e fazer tudo que eu queria fazer. Sei que eu nasci pra saber o quê.
Still popular, if you don't mind my mentioning. Still wildly popular. Can you translate a little bit for us?
This one, belo dia resolvi. Oh, that's hard. Translate it up on the spot like that. One fine day, I just decided to change e fazer tudo que eu queria fazer and do everything that I wanted to do. Me libertei daquela vida vulgar. Freed myself from that vulgar, kind of like mediocre life que eu levava estando junto a você, that I was living while with you. E em tudo que eu faço, and in everything that I do, there is a why, there is a reason. Existe porquê, eu sei que eu nasci. I know that I was born. And then she repeats it.
You know what I like about this? I think a lot of other people like about this is it works. It's like both on a personal level and a bigger level. You know?
Always.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
I start on a personal level and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this can work for something else too.
Exactly. This could have a lot of...
I am very personal in choosing my songs.
Well, what's the message here? What were you thinking then and what are you thinking now?
I've matured. I've grown. I'm independent. I don't need anything from, you know, this person who's bullying and because, you know, every now and again you meet somebody who can drag you down, you know. They don't work for you. They work against you. And whether it's a person from an emotional kind of relationship or more personal, like family or whatnot, or political. Yeah, I like those that are, you know, put your finger right in the face and say, yo, come on now.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with one of Brazil's most popular singers, Maria Rita, and she's coming out with a new album in March. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier about how it was too painful to listen to your mom's music for a long time now, and you can certainly see why. I mean, you lost her when you were, like, 4 years old. You're just four years old.
I was four,
Was it the fact of losing her, or was it how you lost her?
I didn't understand how I lost her until I was 13 years old. I read it in a book because nobody.
That's harsh.
I'm sorry to be so crude, but nobody had the guts to tell me.
She died of an overdose, as I recall.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
And so they say. I mean, she did pass during the military dictatorship. So,
another
time we can talk about that.
No, I see your point.
Yeah. The doctor who signed the post-mortem documentation was the same one. It was proved in the justice system that he was working for the dictator. So, I don't want to get into that now, but that's what it said. That's what it's known by now. So maybe someday we can investigate and look into it a little more. But for now, that's what it is. So I found out about it reading in a book. I was about 12 years old. I was alone in the house. My grandmother was watching because my dad had traveled with his wife for work. And I pretty much just threw the book against the wall. And I was so shocked. And my grandmother just steps in the room. That's my dad's mom. And we were really close. And I just looked at her and I said, "Is this true?" And she's like, "Yes, it is." And then she closes the door, kind of like telling me, deal with it in your own way. We'll talk about it tomorrow, because it was a lot to take, you know. This is the thing, like, having lost my mom when I was 4 years old, I don't really know what it's like to have a mother. So I miss something that I don't have, you see?
Yeah.
So it's this constant, I don't search for her, that's not the thing, but like I feel like there's this little hole in my heart, and it's forever going to be there because there's nothing that I can do. So I do therapy. I have no issues telling people that I'm in therapy. I've done therapy for the past 10 years. This whole pain, so to speak, I can deal with it now. So now it's easier for me to watch her and to listen to her.
What made it possible for you then with that heaviness? I mean, I could understand it if you never wanted to touch the music that she sang.
Yeah.
I could understand. I mean, and you, frankly, you've had a great and are continuing to have a great career of your own, doing your own thing. So one could easily understand if you never wanted to put your hands on any of the music that she recorded. But then you did eventually
do an
album of her music. What made it okay for you to do that? Why did you want to?
Well, it was an homage, you know, and I didn't allow anybody to make money out of it. Again, like it's the opportunity to do something beautiful with no strings attached. And that would, you know, early on in my career, that would just get me. I would be so, so upset whenever a TV show would, you know, put it as a condition. You can only come here if you do your mom's music. And I'll be like, well, so I won't be going there. Thank you very much. And tough decisions, tough. But 10 years later, as you said, you know, I got a number. I don't mean to sound obnoxious, of course, but that comes into play when you have a number of awards that, you know, show you that you have some sort of recognition and respect from your peers, a number of albums sold and a fan base and tours that are, you know, successful tours and traveling all over the country and all over the world to do what you want, to do what you love. It put me in the place where I felt more secure. I knew that I had already showed people and the press and whatnot that I've done my thing. So now I can sing for her, and I am able, with everything that I've conquered in my career, I am able to bring her to a generation who never knew her.
How did it feel doing the album? Was it
wonderful?
It felt good.
Wonderful.
Felt good.
At the very beginning. Well,
how? Like catharsis?
Yes. And it's such a wonderful thing to be up on stage as a daughter and not solely as a singer and see the reaction in people's faces. They would sing those songs. Those songs are hard. They're hard songs. They're not quite, you know, pop music where you can go do-do-do-da-da-da, you know. These are very complex melodically and harmonically, and the words, and everybody knows them to this day. And she's been gone for 32 years now. It's very touching, and to see that she is alive.
I can see.
She is alive. She hasn't gone anywhere. And it touches me just by talking about it.
That. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up something.
No. It's quite all right. As I said, I feel proud.
So you have a new album coming out in March. Congratulations.
Yes.
Can you give us a hint about what that will be about?
It's much like Samba Meu, my third album, which is all samba music, very upbeat and shiny and happy. I recorded it back in November. April, we have the kickoff tour. I'm very excited.
And as we mentioned, it's World Cup this year. Brazil will be in the world
spotlight.
Goodness. Are you looking forward to it, or are you dreading it?
I'm dreading all the scandal and the corruption. I'm embarrassed, and I feel like it's going to be an embarrassment. I'm so upset. I'm dreading it.
So we won't be seeing you singing the national anthem? I mean, I'm
proud of my national anthem. I'm just not proud of all the corruption that's going on around right now, you know?
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be an opportunity to rediscover the music and some other things.
Fingers crossed. Yes. I promise you it's going to be something to watch. And soccer. I mean, whoever likes soccer, definitely that's the place to be. Just know it's not going to be perfect.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. We get that message. Maria Rita is a Grammy Award-winning artist. She was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. Thank you so much for speaking with us, and hope we'll speak again. Congratulations on everything. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and hope to be back anytime soon.
And what song should we go out on? Pick any one of your four albums. What song would you like us to say goodbye to for now?
That's tough. Play Dos Cardenas.
Okay.
From the first album.
All right.
I guess.
There it is.
Dos Cardenas para ti, con ellas quiero decir, te quiero. Porque son tu corazón.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.